Well, I'll tell you what, it has been a pleasure worshiping with each and every one of you. My name's Josh, and I'm the lead pastor here at Berean. For those of you that are maybe newer to Berean, you probably haven't seen me up here for a while. And that's because we've had Richard, who's been helping us, leading us through some mentoring. He's our mentoring pastor here at Cheyenne Berean. He's been going through some lessons on mentoring for us as a church. And I'll have to say, I just want to say thank you so much, Richard. Just appreciate you sharing your heart and teaching us on mentoring, the importance of it. That's not something that happens all too often here in our culture. The reality for mentoring is we don't often see people pouring into the lives of the next generation underneath them. And so appreciate you in this season and pouring your life. That really has been a pleasure and a joy to watch him walk into this next assignment. As we continue in worship, this is obviously our praise and worship service. And so annually, every year, we want to just celebrate and look at what God has done in the previous year and just give him thanks for it. And so this morning, I'm going to actually need your help in praising God with me. So I'm going to give kind of an instruction on this because here pretty quick, we're going to have Super Bowl coming up. And I know there's some men in here that when we sing praise and worship, it's okay. I get it. You're worshiping in your heart. But you kind of worship like this, but then all of a sudden when the TV is in front of you and someone makes that epic touchdown, all of a sudden the most humble and reserved man all of a sudden loses all inhibition. Let's be honest. And so just for one Sunday, I'm just asking you, one Sunday, would you entertain and respond in worship to who God is? So here's what we're going to do. So when you're watching a football game and somebody scores an epic touchdown or does a spectacular move, what is the response that you give? And I'm going to give you an opportunity to go ahead and give that. Are you ready? Okay, so when there's the epic play, what's the response that happens from the crowd? It must not be a very good team. Okay, I get this. Now, think about this. When the epic play happens, what do? They don't usually just kind of sit there and, yay! What do they do? Jump up. All right. Okay, let's try that. So the epic play happens, and how do people respond? All right. Now we're getting a few more people in this. If we did it one more time, I might even get the whole audience, but we'll keep moving forward just to keep the morning going. It was so fun watching our kids this morning, wasn't it? Watching them up here dancing. And here's something. I was just thinking about this as I was getting ready to come up. Listen to this passage of scripture. And this is why we're so excited. This is why we can praise God. Regardless of what was going on in our life this week, we can actually pause and stop and come before God and enter his gates with thanksgiving, Psalms say. We can stop and praise God because of who he is, regardless of what's going on in my life. Now, one of the realities that we celebrate and the reason that we can celebrate so much is there was a great burden of debt against us, sin. And because of that, we're separated from God. And that separates us not just now, but for all eternity. And one of the things that Jesus did on our behalf as he came, and we celebrated that in Christmas, not only did he just come to earth as a babe, but he came and he died on the cross for our sins and gave us new life. He forgave that debt against us. So for those that place their faith in Jesus alone for that salvation, we can actually have that debt canceled against us. And now we're free, free to worship and engage with this wonderful and glorious God who made us. Now, there's a passage that I was thinking about with our kids this morning, and it says this in Zephaniah. Listen to how God responds to us and encourages us to respond to him. And tell me if you don't see little kids dancing in worship. Are you ready? Listen to this. This is in Zephaniah 3, verse 14. It says, "Sing aloud, O daughter of Zion. Sing, shout, O Israel. Rejoice and exult with all your heart, O daughter of Jerusalem." Man, they are singing. They're encouraged to sing and shout out loud. "The Lord has taken away the judgment against you. He has cleared away your enemies. The King of Israel, the Lord, is in your midst. You shall never again fear evil. On that day, it shall be said to Jerusalem, 'Fear not, O Zion. Let not your hands grow weak. The Lord, your God, is in your midst, a mighty one who will save. He will rejoice over you with gladness. He will quiet you by his love. He will exult over you with loud singing.'" Do you ever have that picture of God? Most of the time we have very different pictures of what God is doing. But if you have received Jesus as your Savior, one of the things that he is doing right now over his children, people that belong to him, is he is singing over his children. He's shouting and celebrating what he has done in their life to bring them to himself. He sings over us because of this great debt that's been forgiven. So I wonder if that's our heart this morning. I see these kids, they come up and they're dancing and they're celebrating. I wonder if we too could come with a childlike faith and worship God this morning for who he is and what he's done. The passage of scripture that we're going to be looking at is Psalm 136. And we're looking at God's steadfast love. That's what our focus is going to be on this morning. I'm going to read it with us this morning. I'm going to actually encourage us. Can we stand together? And then I'm actually going to have us join in and do something together as a collective way of reading this together. But first, follow along and just listen to what this passage says. Psalm 136 says this: "Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his steadfast love endures forever. Give thanks to the God of gods, for his steadfast love endures forever. Give thanks to the Lord of lords, for his steadfast love endures forever. To him who alone does great wonders, for his steadfast love endures forever. To him who by understanding made the heavens, for his steadfast love endures forever. To him who spread out the earth above the waters, for his steadfast love endures forever. To him who made the great lights, for his steadfast love endures forever. The sun to rule over the day, for his steadfast love endures forever. The moon and stars to rule over the night, for his steadfast love endures forever. To him who struck down the firstborn of Egypt, for his steadfast love endures forever. And brought Israel out from among them, for his steadfast love endures forever. With a strong hand and an outstretched arm, for his steadfast love endures forever. To him who divided the Red Sea in two, for his steadfast love endures forever. And made Israel pass through the midst of it, for his steadfast love endures forever. But overthrew Pharaoh and his host in the Red Sea, for his steadfast love endures forever. To him who led his people through the wilderness, for his steadfast love endures forever. To him who struck down great kings, for his steadfast love endures forever. And killed mighty kings, for his steadfast love endures forever. Sion, king of the Amorites, for his steadfast love endures forever. And Og, king of Bashan, for his steadfast love endures forever. And gave their land as a heritage, for his steadfast love endures forever. A heritage to Israel, his servant, for his steadfast love endures forever. It is he who remembered us in our low estate, for his steadfast love endures forever. And rescued us from our foes, for his steadfast love endures forever. He who gives food to all flesh, for his steadfast love endures forever." I'd like us all to read this last portion with me. "Give thanks to the God of heaven, for his steadfast love endures forever." Go ahead and grab a seat. When we think about this song, I'm just going to walk us through some basics on this song and what we're encouraged to do in light of this. So we're encouraged to worship, obviously. One of the first things is on giving thanks. So when we think of this idea of giving thanks, it's the first thing that is said: give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. He encourages us, the psalmist, to give thanks to God. Now, we don't know who the psalmist is. We don't know exactly what time that this was written in, but one thing is for certain, he's giving a command and ushering something into us and saying, we need to give thanks to God. So when we think of this word, it's up there on the screen. It's an imperative that is given to us. It's a command, something that we're supposed to fall in line and do toward God. It's a response that we're to give in light of who God is. Appreciated what Tristan shared with us this morning. My real worship should be a response to who God is. Not just a feeling that I have inside, but something that I'm actually looking at the character and qualities of God. And then I come before him and I go, in light of who you are now, I lift up my hands and praise you. It's often used, this word of give thanks. It's often used in a community. It's often used to lift your hands, to actually get your body involved in this response to God. So, in other words, let's put it this way. When we give thanks, one of the things that happens when you're at a Super Bowl game, people get their hands involved when a play happens. What do? Okay, maybe even raise their hands, or what was the other one that I heard? Clapping, right? So right now, one of the things that happened is we were to give thanks to the Lord for he is good. How would you respond to that? If you were to give a response like a Super Bowl. Go ahead, ready? Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. Okay, good. We're starting to catch on to this. Good. So this idea of giving thanks, it's not something that I just sit and do in my mind. It's something that I contemplate, an attitude that I have internally. It's something that I actually express out to the rest of the people. And I get my body involved in this reality. I lift up my hands. I clap my hands. I respond to who God is. The other aspects, it's a public proclamation. It focuses on the characteristics or powerful deeds of someone. And so as we read through this, you actually get to see some of the things that this writer is focusing on. He's looking at people and saying, give thanks. Why? For God is good. They're focusing on the goodness of God and his character, characteristics, his qualities. So as we keep going on this giving thanks, I'll try to break down this passage to you. We look at the first thing that we're told to do in this next slide is to give thanks in light of his goodness. So we look at the goodness of God. When we think of the goodness of God, we realize that when we talk about God being good, what we mean is he is the absolute standard of everything that is good. So if I want to know what something good is, I measure it based on the quality and characteristics of God. To give an example, Jesus, when he was talking to a man who came up to him and said, what do I need to do to get to heaven? And he said, I've done all of these great things. I'm a good guy. And Jesus says, there's no one good but God. And he's pointing this man to the reality that only God is good alone. When we think of God and his goodness, we're looking at him as the absolute standard of that. Furthermore, we also consider with the goodness that not only is he good, but he's also worthy of our praise and attention and affection when we start thinking about that quality of him. It leads us to respond to who he is. So it says he's good. We can see from Genesis 1:31, he says it of himself. When he's done with creation, what does he say? It is very good. He's even saying something of what he's done himself. He's saying, I'm good. And you can see it by what I've done. In Psalm 119 and 68, the psalmist considers the characteristics and qualities of God. And he says, man, what you do is good and how you behave is good. Teach me about yourself. When I encounter the goodness of God, it's something that should actually draw my heart and attention to him, where I actually want to submit to who he is and understand how he wants me to live. It encourages this response of worship. James 1:17, we look at God. There's every good and perfect gift. Where does it come from? James says. It comes from God. So when we look at God and his goodness, we're considering that he is the absolute standard. And because of that, we actually reflect and respond in gratitude and express thanks for who he is. The other one that we have up there is sovereignty. We can see how it's described in the passage that the psalmist points us to this. Give thanks to the God of gods, verse 2. Verse 3, give thanks to the Lord of lords. The last verse that we read together, give thanks to the God of heavens. A verse that's really, it's not used in the rest of the psalms. But it's used all throughout the post-exilic literature. So everything after they were in exile, you start seeing this nickname, this appellate to Jesus or to God and saying, you are the God of heavens, pointing to his sovereignty, that you're the one who's in control. So we give thanks to the fact that he is absolutely sovereign. He's in control. The next portion that we look at is creation. In verses 4 through 9, we start looking at how the psalmist starts pointing us into these different concepts of he spread out the earth above the waters. He made the great lights, the sun to rule over the day, the moon and stars to rule over the night. who alone does great wonders, and who by his understanding, a reflection back into the Proverbs, thinking about what the Proverbs said, by understanding you created all of this. Again, it's pointing people to the reality of who God is as creator and wisdom, how he created this. And what is he doing? He's encouraging people to respond to that. Our God is creator. How would you respond appropriately to a God who created all things by speaking it into existence? Okay, we're kind of slow on that one. All right. How would you respond to a God who created all things by speaking it into existence? Okay, there we go. It's an appropriate response. We're responding to God in light of who he is. That's okay. It's okay to clap. It's okay to lift your arms. It's okay to stand up. The next aspect that we consider of who God is, we go back to that slide on our list. We look at not only his sovereignty, but also his creation. And then the last part that we look at in this portion is the deliverance and provision. So in 10 through 25, he starts considering how God, through a strong arm, rescues them from Egypt. He brought them out from under Egyptian reign and rule and brought them out to himself, even though the remnants of, after they had left Egypt, there are so many times that we even hear from the people of Israel, man, I wish I was back in Egypt. Even though they were doing things like that, God still brings them to himself and carries them along. He leads them through the wilderness, and he even defeats mighty kings that came up against them in the land just across the Jordan from where they were getting ready to go into Jericho. He defeats these kings, and they speak of this and what happens. So through a mighty hand, God delivers them. He provides for them. So we can see that he's powerful. Not only that, but we can also see grace. When you look down in this passage, look with me just a little bit lower. It says that he remembered us, verse 23, in our low estate. In Deuteronomy 7, verses 7 and 9, one of the things that the writer is looking at is he's looking at how God interacts with them. He's blown away by this God who expresses and shows his love to a people who he calls stubborn. They didn't want to always obey. They didn't always want to respond. And yet this God, by his love, kept pursuing this people. He chose them to be his people. And he faithfully, lovingly kept this people and kept pursuing this people to his own glory. So we consider God. We can see his deliverance and provision. We can see his grace, his power in light of this. He also provides food for people. We can see that in the psalm. All of this, when we consider everything that he keeps trying to point us back to, every single act that he's doing, creation, how he delivered them, how he provided for them, there was one thing that kept reverberating through this whole thing. For his steadfast love, his loyal love endures forever. How he keeps treating these people shows his fidelity, his loyalty to himself by saying, I will love you. I chose you to be my people. I'm going to care for you. And it reflects something about himself, and they sing about it, about his loyal love. Now, the God that did that is no different than today. He's still a God of loyal love. He's still a God who provides. He's still a God who delivers. He's still a God who has created all things and worthy of our praise because of his creative work. What are things that hinder us in our worship? Consider that with me just briefly before we move on. Well, some might look, and one of the things that obviously this psalmist, he looks at is when I don't have a clear picture of who God is, it makes it really hard for me to come and accurately worship him. I need to worship God on his terms, not on mine. I worship him for who he is, not what I'd like him to be. That's called idolatry. And so the psalmist is pointing our attention that we worship God for who he is. And so as a group of people, one of the things and reasons that we commit to knowing God, knowing him accurately, is we want to give him praise that's worthy of his name and tell him, yes, this is who you are, God. I want to believe that. And I want all of you to believe that because this is who he says he is. And I want us to respond to him accordingly. Well, when I don't know him, that prevents me from giving him worship that he's due. So the next question that I would ask is, okay, so if I don't know him that well, does that prevent me from worshiping? No. Because what little you do know, respond based on what you know. Romans 1 is one of those great examples. People who knew just a little bit about God, but one of the things that they failed to do that was a roadblock to worship is it says that even what they little that they did know about God, they refused to give him worship and refused to give him credit for who he was. So again, my response of worship, the importance of my response of worship is responding to God and what I know him to be and responding accordingly. And when I come in before a God who is worthy of praise like that, oh my goodness, the Super Bowl should have nothing on the songs that we sing to him. How would you respond accordingly to a God like that? Tell me right now, how would you respond to a God like that? Amen. Amen. So read something with me this morning. We are going to read through the commands to give thanks. Would you stand with me this morning? Here's what we're going to do. I'm going to read through a portion of this text, and then I want you to respond with, "For his steadfast love endures forever." So Ty, if we can go to Psalm 136, verse 1. We're going to read through this first command, and then Ty, we're going to go to verse 36 as the last one. Does that make sense? So I'm going to read, "Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good," and you would respond. Okay, good. All right, so here we go. "Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. Give thanks to the God of gods for his steadfast..." I'm really getting excited about this, folks. All right. "Give thanks to the God of gods.
For his steadfast love endures forever.
Give thanks to the Lord of lords.
For his steadfast love endures forever.
Give thanks to the God of heaven.
For his steadfast love endures forever."
All right, one more time. We're going to try this again. This is the God of the universe. We have an opportunity to respond accordingly. Now, I want to hear somebody who really knows how to cheer in a football game. Give me your loudest cheer. Come on. Somebody in the audience. I don't care who. On three. One, two, three. Okay. If you know how to do that, I want you to make as much noise as possible. I want our kids up in the classrooms to hear us shouting praise appropriately to who God is. Do you hear me? For others that don't feel as comfortable with shouting that, you'll say, "For a steadfast love endures forever." Are you ready? We're going to do the same thing. "Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good." "Give thanks to the God of gods." "Give thanks to the Lord of lords." "And give thanks to the God of heavens." Amen. Amen. Go ahead and grab a seat. This last slide, I want us to think about something together, is this. If you were to write out this psalm on your own, see, what the psalmist did, they wrote this for collective worship. They wrote these small sayings that all of a sudden then a chorus, most likely the Levites, would then sing, "For a steadfast love endures forever." They would sing it. If you were to write something like this, taking things from your life of what God has done, what would you write? What would you say in a psalm like that? What would be included in it? My encouragement to each and every one of us is this. Take time today, sometime this week. Write that psalm. Write what God has done. Follow it up with "his steadfast love endures forever." And read it to him. And thank him for it. See, one of the things that is so helpful for me many times when I'm struggling through and maybe I'm focused on myself is taking time to get the focus off myself and go, "Wait a minute, God, who are you? What are you like?" And I go back through scripture and I start recounting who God is and I start looking at his character, his quality. And man, all of a sudden, that's something that actually takes me out of the funk that I'm in because I'm just focused on me. And I start focusing on who God is and what he's like. And all of a sudden I realize, wait, I can trust you. I don't know when this psalm was written. I'd like to think that because of that last statement, the God of heavens, that's a term that's used so many times after they were in exile. Maybe this was a psalm that was written to remind them of what God had done previously in giving them the land so that they would have courage to obey God in the land that they were in right now. That they could trust God with the enemies that surrounded them, that they could trust God to be their protection, their shield, and give them victory. We don't face enemies like that, but there's a reality for each and every one of us. There is an evil one. And he loves to kill, steal, and destroy. See, reflecting on God, all of a sudden now, that gives me strength against my adversary. Gives me strength to keep going and fighting for a hard marriage, fighting for that relationship with a friend, fighting for what God, when what he is telling me is worth fighting for. Would we be a people that are about his loyal love? Because that would change us. That would change how we fight. That would change how we have hope amidst difficulty. Pray with me. Father, thank you for your steadfast love. Thank you that your steadfast love endures forever. God, we give thanks to you because you're good. We give thanks to you for your provision. We give thanks to you for your grace. We give thanks to you for sending your son, Jesus Christ, to die on the cross, paying a penalty for our sin that we could never pay. Jesus, we want to make noise today to you. Help us to make noise to you, a joyful noise. Just as you sing over us, would we sing right back, right now, in your name. Amen.